time to feel the rush of the Round Table, live on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Roundtable for Burke Financial, offering homeowners personalized mortgage solutions. For approvals in as little as an hour and fast funding, visit burkefinancial.ca. Brokerage license number 13111. Joining us, former Liberal MP, senior advisor at Queen's University, author as well. Selena Caesar-Chavon is here. Hello, Selena.
Hi, how are you?
Doing very well. Also partner at Upstream Strategy. Always glad to welcome in Chris Chapin. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys.
So we learned a couple things today from the health minister and from the premier. Not only will Monday represent getting back to normal for restaurants when it comes to capacity limits, restaurants, gyms, they'll be allowed to have those restrictions waived and lifted. Barbershops, salons, museums, galleries, they will also, if they've got QR codes and vaccine passport scanning equipment, then they will, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. It's an app. They'll also be open without restrictions. We also learned, though, masks, at least according to the province, they want to get rid of that mask mandate by March. They want to get rid of the vaccine passport by January. Selena, it all feels like going back to normal, although Dr. Isaac Bogosh was listening to the show. He called us and said, I'm not sure. You know, it's good to have goals, but he seemed a little skeptical of those goals.
Yeah, and you know what? I was actually, my neighbors across the street, they're like 80 years old, and we have happy hour every night, and we were talking about, well, not every night, but yeah, just about every night. And we were talking about, you know, they still social distance on their front deck. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, is this too much of a rush? And everybody around there at happy hour was like, yeah, let's just do this. Let's open it up, but let's keep some of the masks. Let's try to social distance. So there's a little, still this little bit of trepidation because we've been so much and through so much, it's lasted so long. You almost don't want to go too fast into the reopening and sort of taking down everything because we just don't want to go backwards. That's my concern. So I totally agree with, you know, the physician just saying, you know, let's just take our little bit of our time, but we're happy for the reopening.
Yeah, Chris, Dr. Kieran Moore, you know, he stressed the idea that COVID will be around. It'll be running in the backdrop, you know, sort of like a, you know, McAfee security system on your computer. It's going to be there. You're just not going to maybe notice it in the abundance that we have over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I think that's what they've always kind of told us we were going to get towards, you know, the idea that it's, you know, endemic and it's always going to be around, but, you know, we don't have to take the same precautions we did, you know, that we started 20 months ago. So I think, you know, I don't think while they set dates today, I think they were pretty clear and upfront that, you know, that things could change and they won't hesitate to do it. It was interesting, like, I just spent the weekend down in New York City for a friend's wedding. And it's interesting going different places where the rules are a little different, where, you know, there weren't the same kind of capacity limits at restaurants there. But you still had to show your vaccination status to get into a restaurant. So I think they're taking it slowly. I think it seems to be working. You know, there's no question the approach Ontario has taken over the last, you know, several months has led to the best results of any province, I think, this side of the Maritimes. And I think there's only one of the provinces in Atlantic Canada that has a lower case rate than we do here in Ontario. So we've certainly turned a corner here. And I think at some point, I think everybody is starting to feel anxious and ready to kind of get back to normal.
One of the other normals that we might be looking at as we move forward is the possibility that people who lose their jobs for not complying with an employer's COVID-19 vaccination policy might not be eligible for employment. Here's the employment minister.
We're looking into it. My current thinking on it is that's a choice. And, you know, of course, not counting medical exemptions or valid reasons for not having the vaccination. But if you choose to leave your job for that reason, my current thinking and the current advice I'm getting is you won't qualify for EI.
Now, Selena, the pushback that we seem to get on our text board was, you know, if there's a vaccination mandate at my job, it wasn't the job that I signed up for. Now that it's different, I don't necessarily think that should come into play, but the unfortunate reality is, as an employer, you have the right to change what a job entails, and if you are going to get a new job where this is the expectation, you have a choice, and if you choose not to partake because of your vaccination status, that's going to be the new normal. So is there anything to argue here?
I'm not sure there's anything to argue, but it still makes me feel slightly uneasy. I mean, so we've kind of jumped a step, and you know, we're talking about not getting EI. Have we finished actually the discussion on the mandate? And of course, I double vaccinated. I want to ensure that you know people are protected, especially our frontline workers. They have to have the vaccination, et cetera, et cetera. But there is a problem when we're not looking at making sure that people are not going to be unduly impacted by these mandates. I mean, I'm a member of the Black community. We know what carding is like. We know how that could be taken too far for a lot of individuals. So, yes, there's nothing to argue here, but at the same time, there's a part of me that says, have we finished having this discussion? And I think that's an important consideration.
Chris?
I completely agree with Selena. And I think, I think there is a lot left to discuss. And I really wish, it seems like a kind of a foreign concept at this point, but this is something I don't think should be, just mused about by a cabinet minister of any stripe, any politician. Like this is something that I think needs to get ruled on by, as high as the Supreme Court, in terms of what is and isn't somebody's right in this country. There's always been exemptions for conscience right decisions for vaccinations. And even though we have vaccine mandates across this country for schools and stuff, you could still say it was your decision not to take it. And we've never kind of limited stuff like this. So the idea of limiting somebody's livelihood and their ability to even qualify for employment insurance, that just seems like a really bold decision to just muse about something, because I do think something this serious should get ruled on so we can have a definitive answer. And in the past, up until 20 months ago, those were the decisions we entrusted to, our judiciary in Canada. And I think not doing that, not going that route is a scary and dangerous precedent for anything in our future as a country.
We've heard a lot about restaurants having problems finding staff and rehiring the people that once worked there. There's a restaurant in Richmond, BC, that has decided to offer $50,000 a year for somebody to do the dishes in the restaurant. Selena, it might be a little extreme, but do you see this perhaps becoming the new normal where restaurant wages, there's no choice in the matter. They've got to pay more to attract people.
So this story is really interesting, and not necessarily from the perspective of, having a $50,000 dishwasher, but from the perspective of what we've been calling for the entire pandemic, and that is to make a living wage. If you make less than $60,000 with a family of four, you're living under the poverty line in Canada. And so, when we talk about, these people working in hospitality industries not making an adequate living wage, we might be, the pandemic may have forced some industries to adjust where government and other regulators have not been able to. And we'll see how this spins out. But I think it's a really important consideration when you think about how people are going to survive and thrive after a pandemic like this.
Chris, I'd also like to know from the customer point of view, if you're paying the dishwasher $50,000, how much are my quesadillas?
I think it's certainly interesting. I don't think it's going to stick around. I think actually what will be very telling is how things start to shift, starting tomorrow when the Canadian Recovery Benefit no longer is in effect. And so that, that $2,000 a month to stay at home ceases to exist here in Canada. So I think there's going to be certainly an increase in demand for salary jobs and to go back to work. And then on the flip side of that, from the employer standpoint, I wonder how much the ability to pay somebody $50,000 a year as a dishwasher right now was assisted by the fact that the Canadian wage subsidy, which also expires as of tomorrow, will no longer be in effect. But up until then, it was covering 75% of your employees' wages. So it might not have cost that restaurant nearly as much as the $50,000. It might have only cost them $15,000 to pay for that employee, rather than what would traditionally be a $50,000 wage that they'd have to pay. So I think there's definitely going to be some interesting weeks ahead, but I would suspect it won't sustain at that kind of a salary, unfortunately, for those employees.
surprising or perhaps not at all surprising, considering the amount of COVID fatigue most people are experiencing today. Our conversation around cruises was the biggest conversation that we had today. Literally, absolutely blew up. This springboarding from a 274-night cruise that will take you to 150 destinations around the world. Selena, I know you fairly well. We've only really talked on the radio, so I'm just going to go on a limb here and say not a cruise person.
Oh, I'm totally not a cruise person. Totally, totally not a cruise person.
Okay.
But when you do the math on this one, for the price of this cruise, I might live on a cruise for the next 274 days. I don't have to pay mortgage. I don't have to pay like utility bills. I don't, like, somebody's cooking for me, cleaning my bathroom. Shoot, I might just do this.
Okay. Chris?
You couldn't pay me to be on a cruise ship for that long. Like, that sounds terrible. Like, absolutely horrible. 200. The idea of a cruise my entire life has just never set well with me. I had the idea of being stuck on a boat for 4 days. Just not for me. But 274 days. Ugh.
Guys, the amount of 65
countries though.
The amount of people that called in that absolutely were just literally like they're like the part of the cruise cult trying to get Ryan and I on board.
Felt like timeshares were next. Timeshares, not so bad. Selena, Chris, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
We would also like to thank Mike and Ben for their work on the show today, and all of you. A lot of great contributions, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely. Also, our producer, Donnie, this week, want to let you know that you are in our thoughts right now, my friend, you and your entire family. We are back on Monday at 2 o'clock. Until then, just do us a favor. Have the best weekend ever. And no cruises. Your CTV Evening News is next. I should have just stopped there.